We begin the current daven, Sefetz Gittin, Dav Chaf Hei. We begin on the top line of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had in the Mishnah on the previous daf, a halacha regarding Lishma, and that is, if a get is written Shaloi Lishma, not for the sake of this woman, the get is pasal. Now, there were four different cases that each one was a bigger chiddush than the next regarding its flaw in Lishma. Obviously, if it wasn't written for Croesus at all, then if it was written but for a different man, then if it was written for the same man but for a different wife that had the same name, and then even if it was written for either one of them but it didn't specify which one, until it's totally for this specific woman, it fails and lacks in the halacha of Lishma, and the get's going to be possible. However, we had so far two opinions regarding, although it's a get possible, will it still have a halacha of invalidating on some level based on the principle of what's called reich haget, which means it has a scent of a get, it has the appearance as a get, and hence, if a kohen gives such a get, although it's a get posel to his wife, she will become posel to kohuna. That's from a special limud which tells us that she, if a isha is divorced me'isha from her husband, which we learn that even if she's only divorced from him, meaning and not permitted to anyone else, where he says, I'm divorcing you, but you're still forbidden to everyone else, that there's a limud that tells us that she is considered on some level, not really divorced, to be permitted to other men, but divorced in the sense of forbidding her to kahuna. That's halacha known as reich haget. Now, we had so far the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav held that all of those cases, the last three have at least the scent of a get, because really they are gittin, they're just not written lishma, so there's something lacking in its ability to function as a get, so therefore, it will invalidate it from kahuna, except for the first case where it has nothing to do with a get, it just has the same words, but it wasn't even written for gerush and vakrisis, it will not invalidate her even as a reich haget. Whereas Shmuel said, no, even the first case will invalidate her as a reich haget, whereas we quoted at Shmuel l'shitasei that any time it says in the Mishnah, get posel, it will also posel as halacha of reich haget, which our Mishnah includes these four cases, even the first one as a posel get, therefore it will invalidate based on reich haget. That's where Agamar continues with a third opinion. Zivi Amar, he says, actually, kulon ein paislin. No, the majority of them, all of them, will not invalidate the woman as a reich haget. You give her this get, it's like you gave her a piece of paper, she's not possible even from kahuna. Chutz min achron, he says, except for the last one, where there, if you give the woman a get, where you had told the scribe, write it for whichever one of my two wives that have the same name, Leah, that I'll decide to divorce, although we said what's known as Ein Breira, it will not retroactively clarify that it was for her, and therefore that it lacks in Lishma, so it's a get puzzle. However, stringently, we do say Yesh Breira, that retroactively was clarified that it was for her, and hence, as a stringency, it's like she's divorced, meaning that she'll be puzzled to Kahuna. But, however, Ziri holds regarding the first three cases, that they don't even have a Reich HaGet, because you can't compare it to the source of this Allah of Reich HaGet, which is if a man divorces his wife only from himself, but not to permit it to everyone else, we're there at least in regards to that context of divorcing from him, it was written for his name and Lishma for her name. So therefore, it's valid. It just was a limited get, which doesn't work. But in that limited context, it's a kosher get. So you could have Reich HaGet. But says Zeiwi, the first three cases where it wasn't even Lishma, even in any which way, therefore he holds it's not even going to be possible as a Reich HaGet. And V'chein Amar Ravasi, Sotra Ravasi says, Kulon ein poislin, all the first three cases of our Mishnah will not invalidate her from kuhuna even as a reich haget, chutz min achron, except for the last case. For B'yechidin Amar, he says a fourth opinion. He says, Af achron nami ein poislin. He says, even the last case of our Mishnah, even that one will not invalidate her as a reich haget, because he holds ein breira, there's no retroactive clarification. It's lacking, just like the first three cases in Lishma. So therefore, it's a get posel, and it doesn't even have anything to do with the halacha of me'isha, which at least had the halacha of being kosher, just in a limited frame or a limited scope. There you'll say reich haget, but here, even in any case, you won't say reich haget. And the Gemara tells us that ba'azdar b'yechon le'tamei. B'yechon goes according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, where that he holds totally ein breira, and even as a stringency, he won't hold yesh breira, which is what all the other opinions were going with, based on that, okay, we'll consider it a reich haget, at least as a stringency, that yesh breira. Because the Amr Rab Asi Amr B'yechanan. B'yechanan mentioned elsewhere is that ha'achin shalchalku, when a father dies and he has many sons, so the sons split the inheritance. Says Rabbi Yechanan that when they split the Yerusha, the inheritance, They have the halachic status as purchasers, as consumers. What that means to say is that we don't say brero. We don't say, oh, in other words, father died. He left over this much assets. Okay, who said that's your part of the Yerusha? This is my part of the Yerusha. So generally you would say, brero, it's clarified. Once you take that and I take that, that means to say this was yours and this was mine. Birchen holds that no. It's like we don't know whose is whose. Maybe this is your part of the Yerusha. Maybe this is my part. We don't know. So therefore, when each one takes a part, it's as if we made up, okay, if it's mine, then it's mine. If it's yours, then I'm buying it from you. In other words, it's some type of a bartering system, like a purchaser. Because he holds like Lekuchas because we don't say Brera. And therefore, you could suspect that maybe the portion that he's really taking is really his brother's, and they're just swapping it. That's really what buying is. So therefore, says Rabbi Yechanan, umarzirin ze leze b'yoyvol. So therefore, when Yoyvol comes around, all the brothers have to give it back to the pot as it was in the beginning because of the mitzvah of Yoyvol. Meaning, the halacha of Yoyvol is that if anyone purchased a field from someone else, he owns it because he paid for it, he bought it. But in the times when there's halacha of Yoyvol, he owns it up until the 50th Jubilee year, and then it goes back to the seller. So here also, since the part of the inheritance you have might have been purchased from the other brother, you have to give it back. Everyone has to put it back to the pot. And then they have to go ahead and split it up again. Because maybe, as Rabbi Yochanan qualifies Yerushim as Lekuches. So therefore, we see Rabbi Yochanan holds that we don't say Brera. Because if he said Brera, then we'd say, no, it's Yerusha. It's not Lekuches. I didn't buy it from you. If I'm taking this part of inheritance, it was clarified that this was my part of the inheritance. So the fact that he doesn't say that is because he holds Ein Brera. And that's the same thing he holds over here, that even in the fourth case, Ein Brera. And therefore, it wasn't written Lishma for this woman. And therefore, there's not even a Re'ech HaKet. Now, the Gemara tells us Utsricha, that seemingly, if it's the same halacha, Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here in our Mishnah, and over there regarding the brothers that they split their inheritance, why does he need to say both, which are both conveying this halacha concept of totally Ein Brera? So the Gemara says you need it. D'i itmar b'ha, because if we only had Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here by the get, but how come Rabbi Yochanan the Ein Brera? Here is where Rabbi Yochanan would say that there's no retroactive clarification that it, when he said I want it to be written for whichever woman I'll decide that it's not going to work, Mishum Dibin and Lo Lishma. Because the Pasuk says specifically Bechas of Lo, you have to write the get for her, which means to say for her sake. So the Pasuk is already preempting the ability for Brera to work. So that's why maybe Rabbi Yochanan would hold Ein Brera. Aval Hasam, but over there by the brothers that they split the inheritance, Necherhud Amrachman al Had Beyevel. What do you mean? It's only by a sale when someone goes over to his friend. This is your field. I'm buying it from you. That's where the Torah tells. When it comes to Yevil, you have to give it back. But I would say that by inheritance and by gift, that then we say that no, a person that this is his part, there's not a sale, then I don't have to give it back. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan had to say that no, even over there by the Yerusha, you have to give it back when it comes to Yevil, because we consider it as Lekuches. Even there do we say this concept that it's based on Ein Brera. Now, this, and the same thing the other way around. V'yashmin and Sada, had we only said the case of the brothers who split a field, Mishum de l'chumra, maybe over there B'yechanan says, because the fact that they have to return it every 50 years is a stringency. Now, moreover, we could say that even if B'yechanan was in doubt, if you say Yesh Brera or not, he would still go as a stringency. And you say, maybe we don't say Yesh Brera, maybe Ein Brera. Maybe it's not necessarily your inheritance and it's really your brother's and it's some type of a purchase. So that's why maybe there he would say that you have to go back and give it back by Yevil. But regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, that again the Damirama qualifying in the halacha when it says that these four cases in the Mishnah that weren't written Lishma are get puzzle, to say that, as Rabbi Yechanan said, that Einoi Paisel, that's a stringency. To say that it will not have the halacha as a reich haget to make her pasul for kahuna, if it wasn't so clear to Rabbi Yochanan that we hold Ein Brera, he wouldn't necessarily say that it's a leniency. Maybe only over there by the field, by the brothers, where it's a stringency, does he say Ein Brera. Or inami kitchila, or another approach we could say, why it wouldn't be enough just to say the case of the sada by the brothers, is because maybe that halacha over there is for a different reason. Maybe it's because just like when the father died, when he died, his estate was from one person. Maybe every year by Yevil, as it is when you sell something, it has to go back and to the ownership of that one person that originally owned it. And therefore, maybe the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan over there is not really based on the principle of Ein Brera. Maybe even if you hold Yesh Brera. but still you have to give it back because we needed to go back to the original owner of the estate, which was the father who passed away. But over here by get, maybe we wouldn't say that. In other words, maybe we would say that there is brera, and therefore the halacha would be that it would be possible based on the principle of recha get. That's why tzricha, that's why we need to have Rabbi Yechonah to say his halacha of ein brera, both over here by get, where there's no doubt that it's for sure that we can't say it was written for that woman. So there's no recha get, and also over there by the yarshim, also we say ein brera, and therefore it could be it's your field, it could be it's my field, and therefore we have to go ahead and give it back by the Yevil year and then split it up all over again. Again, those are the four different opinions we had in the Machlekes in the Halacha of HaMishnah. Do we say if it's a Re'echa Get or not? We had the opinion of Rav, who says they're all Re'echa Get besides the first one. Shmuel says no, even the first one is Re'echa Get. We had Ze'iri, who said that actually they're all not Re'echa Get except for the last one, because we'll say Yesh Breira L'chumra. And then we had the opinion of Rabbi Yechon, who said that no, we hold Ein Breira even as a leniency, even that it shouldn't be considered as a re'echa get to make her pasul for kahuna. Now the Gemara continues with the following question related to the halacha that we're discussing in our Mishnah. Ba'yimenei Rav Hoshim Rav Yehuda. Rav Hoshim asked from Rav Yehuda the following question. Oma l'lavler, if a husband says to the scribe, Kasub le'eze sh'teitze b'pesach t'chila. Let's say he's married to two wives and they're both called Leah. And he says, look, I don't want to be married to two women, but I don't really care which one I'm going to divorce. He says, write the get for whichever one of these two women is going to come out of the door first. And then let it be considered that the get was written for her, which is what's called the Shema. And that could be done because their names are the same. Mahu, what's the halacha? He asked Rabbi Yehuda, do we say yesh brera? That retroactively it's clarified that this was the one that it was written for, because whichever one's coming out first is the one that's written for. Or do we say that? No, ein brera. Because you didn't know at the time it was being written who's going to come out first. And therefore you can't say retroactively it was clarified, so no matter who comes out first, it's not considered it was written for her, it's not written lishma, and therefore it would be possible. What's the halacha? So Amaleis, Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav Hoshia, Tinisu, we learned this in the halacha of our Mishnah, which we were just discussing, which was the last of the four cases. Yes, and McCain, the Tanya of the Mishnah says, even more than this, the biggest chiddush of what would be considered not lishma, even though you would think maybe it would be, is amal lavlar. If a husband says to a scribe, kasuv le'eze she'eretz agarish, write the get. I mean, again, the same case where you have two wives, Leah, and write it for whichever one I'm going to decide to divorce. I don't know right now which one, but I'll decide. Write it for that one. So the Mishnah says pasul agarish boy. So it's invalid to be used as a divorce. So says Rabbi Yehuda, alma ein brera. So that answers your question. Obviously, we see that there's no retroactive clarification. You got to know at the time when you're writing it who it's being written for. Now, on that, Eisvei, Rav Hoshi asked to Rabbi Yehuda for the following Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. Mishnah says, if someone says to his children, I'm going up to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, whichever one of you is the first one up to Yerushalayim, I'm going to slaughter the Korban Pesach. In other words, for that child, you're going to be considered from what's called Menuyim. You have to be counted amongst those of the Chabura, of the group that's bringing the Korban Pesach. So he's saying that I'm going to acquire for that child, which everyone's going to be the first one up to Yerushalayim, that his portion at the time when I'm going to be slaughtering the Korban in Yerushalayim on the 14th of Nisan. Says the Mishnah, Kivan Shenechnes Rishon, once the first child enters, meaning after it was slaughtered, Reisha V'rubay, he gets his head and the majority of his body into Yerushalayim. So Zacha B'chelkai, he merits his portion. In other words, because we say Yesh Breira. In other words, although at the time of the Shechita, the father didn't know which child is going to be the first one there, but since he's the first one that ends up getting there, so we say that at the time when the father slaughtered, he meant this son, and the Korban Pesach was slaughtered for him. Because he said, whichever one is going to be, and now it retroactively is clarified that it was you. Umezakes echev imay. And moreover, he actually merits his other brothers who didn't get up first, together with him, which they're also considered part of his portion in his father's Korban Pesach, which shortly the Gemara is going to address that part of the Mishnah. But one thing that Rav Hoshi is asking Rabbi Yehuda, seemingly that is halacha of Yesh Breira. You just said that at the time when you're doing something, you have to know. You can't say later on to retroactively clarify, yet here we have a father slaughtering Korban Pesach. He doesn't know which son it's going to be, and yet the first one that gets to the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim says will be considered counted because we say Yesh Breira. So Amalei, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rav Hoshea, Hoshea Bari, my son Hoshea, Ma in Psochem Eitz L'Gitin? What does the halacha regarding Karban Pesach have to do with the halacha you asked me regarding a get? Ha'it ma'alah, because he says, we learned regarding that Mishnah Psech Psochem, that Amr Rabbi Yechon had said that actually the father counted all his sons in his Karban Pesach when he was slaughtering it. Now, although he said that he's only going to be doing it for whichever is the first son that gets there first to Yerushalayim, that was only kedei lazarzen b'mitzvos. That was just to get them fired up to be quick to do mitzvos. In other words, what he's trying to say, look, Tati wants to see who's going to be the first one there, but he didn't tell them what it was really in his heart. But of course, he was going to count all his sons to be part of the Karban Pesach. And that's why it's counted. Not because of Yesh Breira. That's why you're asking from Pesachim to Gittin. Here I'm telling you halacha that we say Ein Breira. There it's not based on Breira. There he always meant to include all the sons of the Karban Pesach. He just wanted to see who's going to be the first one there. Dekanami, and a precise reading indicates this, because the Tani we learned over there in that Mishnah Pesachim that says, Kimen Shenichnes Rishon Roish Shavarubai. Once, as we just quoted this, once the first one gets his head and the majority of the body into Yerushalayim, we said Zacha Bechalkai, so he merits his portion, as his father said, the first one's there, he's going to get the portion of Karban Pesach. Umezakes Echav Imai. And he also merits his brothers together with him. Now the question is, Iyamet Bishleim Adam Nina Meikara, if you say like me, says Rabbi Yehuda, that from the beginning, of course the father counted all his sons in the Chabur, in the group to eat the Karban Pesach. So Shaper, it makes sense. That's why when the first one gets there, he merits all his brothers with them, because really they were all counted originally in the Chabur from the beginning. But if you say, the way you were assuming in your question, that he did not count them, what, do you think that after slaughtering, could they have been then counted and joined into the group? But what's not? We learn the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim that says, meaning, again, regarding that first son that gets there, okay, you want to say that would be considered Yesh Breira. Fine, but then you would run into the problem, what's with the other sons? How could they be joined later on? But the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim tells us that Nimnin, anyone that wants to be counted into a group, which is a halacha unique to Karban Pesach, that they have to be counted already from before in the group that's eating the Karban Pesach, or Umayishchin Yedein Memenu, or someone that was already counted in the group, but he wants to withdraw himself from that group to be counted with a different group eating the Karban Pesach, so he can withdraw himself or join Atshe Yeshachid, until the Karban Pesach is slaughtered. But after slaughtering, neither can he join, neither can he remove himself from the group. Because as the Pasuk says, Ve'im Yimer Habayis, if there's a diminishment in the house, meaning if there are some that want to diminish and withdraw from that house, that the group that they're in, the Pasuk says, Miyois Miseh, which is when the animal is still Miyois, when it's still Havai, when it's still alive, then they could be Mamai, then they could diminish, then they could remove themselves from the group. But after it's slaughtered, you can't remove yourself, or neither can you join. So therefore, how can you say that it was actually something that's happening later, but then the brothers wouldn't be able to join? Obviously, says Rabbi Yehuda, that because they were already all counted, and the brother that he was saying, whoever gets there first is going to get it, was just as a way of a motivational factor. As the Gemara says, Tani Amahachi, similar in the Braisa, that the father's whole intention was only to be mezaras them, to get them to work with alacrity, but all the brothers were already counted, and there's no principle of Yesh Brei working over here. As the Braisa says, Maisa v'kodmu banis labanim. It once happened that actually the daughters got there first before the sons. V'nimtzu banis rizus. What turned out was that the daughters were the ones that were the swift ones. Ubanim shvalim, and the sons were the low down ones. Now it doesn't say that it turns out that the daughters merited to have the Karban Pesach and the sons didn't, because it has nothing to do with that. Everyone ended up eating the Karban Pesach. The father didn't want to say that no one's part of it. He just was a way of getting them to come, and therefore, there's no question, says Rabbi Yehuda, from that Mishnah to prove Yesh Breira, because actually, like I said, Ein Breira, as we see from our Mishnah. But that Mishnah is talking about something else, a motivational factor, but of course, it's not because of Yesh Breira. That was their discussion. Now, that asks the Gemara, I'm Abaya. Abaya wonders regarding this dialogue that was between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Isha. It says, take a look, take a step back for a second, look at this discussion that we just had. It says, Kabay Minei, what Rav Hoshea had asked from Rabbi Yehuda, he had asked him a case when the man tells the scribe, whichever woman comes out of the door first. Now, what type of a case is that? Where he's Taila, the one who's making the condition, makes the consequence contingent Bedasa Chayrim. With someone else's decision. In other words, whoever is the woman that comes out, they get to decide that. That's beyond his own control. That was what the questioner of Hoshea had asked Rabbi Huda. Now, but Rabbi Huda had responded with the case of our Mishnah, which was a case when the husband tells the scribe that write it for whichever Leah, I will end up deciding to divorce. Which that's a case of Toyla Bedas Atzmoy, where he's making contingent on himself. Now, what's the difference if it's Toyla Bedas Atzmoy or Toyla Bedas Acherim? So, on that Rashi explains that what Abai is pointing out is that maybe only in the case where, as we find in the Mishnah, where he's Toyla Bedas Atzmoy, where he says, I don't know who I'm going to decide, but I'll decide which Leah I'm going to divorce at that point in time. Maybe over there you're right, Rabbi Huda, that there will say Ein Breira. Now, the reason is because since originally from his condition in the beginning, he already revealed what's called Peseach HaShtei Se'ifim. He was hemming and hawing. He didn't know who he's going to divorce. And therefore, we can't say that Richard actively it's clarified that originally, oh, that must have been your intention, because you had no clue for the fact that you're hemming and hawing. You're just not sure which one you're going to divorce. So maybe over there, right, they will say Ein Breira. But Rav Hoshi is questioned, which is the case of when he's Toila Bedas Acherim, where whichever one comes out first, that's the one I want. So there, maybe, whichever one does end up coming out, maybe that is a retroactive clarification. Maybe that we actually would say, yes, Breira, that's the one that he wanted. So why, if he's asking him Toila Bedas Acherim, why is he answering with a case of Toila Bedas Atzmai? Now, moreover, says Abai, and then look at the conversation, it goes back again. Then Rav Hoshi asks him again another question, from the Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim by the Karban Pesach, where that's again Toila Bedas Acherim. Again, he's going back to the same type of a question. When it's contingent on other people, we hear the father didn't know which son's going to come first. Whichever son comes first is the one he wants. So how do we understand this? He asks him Toila Bedas Acherim. He answered Toila Bedas Acherim. And then he asks him again Toila Bedas Acherim. So that Amar Rava. Rava says to Abai his questions. He says, my Kushya, what's your problem with the dialogue that we have between Rav Hoshea and Rav Yehuda? Dilma demanded Islay Breira, maybe the one who holds that Yesh Breira, Loishna Toila Bedas Atzmai, Beloishna Toila Bedas Acherim. You're right, whoever holds that there is retroactive clarification would hold that there's no difference if he makes a contingent on himself or he makes a contingent on other people. Islay Breira, still he'll hold that there is retroactive clarification. And that was seemingly Rav Hoshi's position. Uman the less labor, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no retroactive clarification, holds loishna toila b'das atzmai v'loishna toila b'das acherim. It doesn't make a difference if he makes a contingent upon himself, which is the case of our Mishnah, and there's no difference if it's contingent on other people, which was the case of Rav Hoshi's question, less labor, who holds that there's no retroactive clarification. So what's your problem? So you noticed a different nuances in the pattern of that question? Rav Hoshea asked him, Toila Bedas Acherim, and Rabbi Yehuda answered him, Toila Bedas Atzmai. What's the problem? Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Ein Breira, as you see from our Mishnah, that Ein Breira. So yeah, although the Mishnah is Toila Bedas Atzmai, what would it be a difference if it's Toila Bedas Acherim in the case Rav Hoshea is asking him? Who cares? Ein Breira means there's no retroactive clarification. Who cares if the contingency is executed by him or by someone else? And therefore, maybe that's why Rabbi Yehuda answered him from a Toila Bedas Atzmai case. Now, that Amar Rav Mashash LeRava, but Rav Mashash said to Rava, wait a second. But Vahar Rabbi Yehuda, how are you? You're answering, you're saying that there's no difficulty with that dialogue between Rav Hoshea and Rabbi Yehuda. But Vahar Rabbi Yehuda, the Toila Bedas Atzmai, meaning we have Tanoyim, the Toila Bedas Atzmai Les Lebrera, I'll prove to you, Rabbi Yehuda holds that when he makes it contingent on other people, on himself, then there's no retroactive clarification. Because as we said, that the guy himself, how could you say if he's not even sure when he's doing it, when he's having it written, he wasn't sure which layer, how could you say when he finally decides that retroactively was clarified that that's what he wanted in the beginning, when at the time of the beginning, he had no clue what he wanted? Yeah, but when he makes a contingent on other people, then he holds that there is retroactive clarification. As we said, because then he could say, yes, that's what I wanted. I just didn't know who's going to walk out of that door first. But when it happens, that's the one I wanted. So therefore, how are you answering Rava Abai's questions? Abai's question is pretty valid. There is a discrepancy between Bedas Atzmai and Bedas Acherim, and therefore he doesn't understand how Rabbi Yehuda answered Rav Hoshea's question, as I'll prove to you from the following Tanoim, who do make this differentiation. As follows, Toila Bedas Atzmai Les Lebrera, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when he makes a contingent on himself, there's no retroactive clarification. The Tanoim, like we learned in the Braisa, Halikeach yain mibein ha-kutim. If someone purchases wine from the kutim, now as Rashi points out, this was before the gzera making the wine of kutim forbidden. So the wine is permitted. Now the case is talking about specifically with a yid who's buying from this kuti doesn't have another vessel to separate the appropriate trumas and maestris into those other vessels. Now the problem is he needs to drink, and that's why he bought this cup of wine from the kuti. Now the thing is that kutim, Rashi says, are considered geiri emes. They're considered valid geirim converts to the Jewish faith, and therefore they have a halacha status as Jews, and therefore the land of Israel does not have its sanctity removed by their ownership of the land, because for that point they were considered them as Jews. Now, moreover, is that they're suspect regarding taking off the appropriate types and trumas, more than just in Am Haaretz, because an ignoramus, the majority of them do take off maestros, and they all take off truma. But kutim are suspect regarding everything, and if someone purchases from them produce, he has to take off definite maestro. So you have somebody bought a cup of wine, and he knows there's no trumas and maestros taken off from it. Until then, it's considered tavel. But he has to drink this cup of wine, and he has no other cups. What does he do? Says the Braisa. Omer, he says as follows. Shnei lugin, two lugin, which is a measurement of liquid, from the 100 lugin that there is in this wine, Shani os lahafrish, which I will ultimately separate, because that's generally truma's 1/50th, so that's 2 out of 100. He says, harehein truma. They are truma. It's somewhere inside over here. 2 lugin out of this 100 is truma. And asara maiserishin, then 1/10 of this 100, somewhere inside over here, is considered maiser. And tisha maiser sheni, 9 of it is considered the second type. Because once you already took off 10 from the first tithe, you're only left with 90, so 1/10 of that is going to be 9. So you took off your truma, I mean, you didn't take it off, the truma is in there somewhere, my serishin is in there somewhere, and you make 9 of it the second tithe. Now, regarding Maaser Sheni, as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, but umeichel. Regarding the Maaser Sheni, you deconsecrate that just verbally on money that you have in your house. Which that works regarding the Maaser Sheni, because you could be mechallel, you could deconsecrate it and put it into money, because many people, when they didn't take up all their produce to Yerushalayim, where Maaser Sheni had to be eaten, they deconsecrated onto money and then they took up the money. So you could do that. So as Rashi says, since it's possible to do that, not to leave the Maaser Sheni inside of here, you could fix that part of this tevel wine, so you do it in the appropriate way by having it done outside. Now there's no Maaser Sheni in here. Rather, 9 lugin worth of Maaser Sheni is now in money somewhere in his house, which that money he'll take up and consume that by purchasing produce in Eretz Yisrael. Then, b'sheis miyad. Then, once he designated all the names of Truma in it and Maaserishin and Maaser Sheni, which then he transferred to money in his house, so now it's no more considered tevel, untithed produce anymore, and he can drink it right away. Now, when he goes to drink, somewhere in here, this truma and this maaserishin. But, as he's drinking, we clarify that whatever it is, what's called birur, we're clarifying what he's drinking is chulin. Now, when he finally comes around, after he drank already and he left over some, when he finally is able to find some vessels, whatever he's pouring out for truma, we'll say retroactively that was the 2 lugin that are truma. So we see that this opinion holds, yesh bera, that retroactively we'll clarify that what wasn't drunk, which was then poured out, was what was truma or maaserishin. That's Divrei Meir. Whereas Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrim. Rabbi Huda says that it's Aser, obviously because he holds that you don't say Breira when it's contingent on yourself, because he himself is taking out the wine. He's deciding what he's drinking, what he's not drinking. So you see, first of all, Rabbi Huda holds that when the Toilet B'das Atzmai is no Breira. That's why he says it's us. You can't do what Rabbi Meir said, because since it's contingent on what you're going to do, then we say ein brer. But toile b'das acherim is le brer. But we see when it's contingent on other people, then he holds that you do say brer. How do you see that? It's not like learn the Mishnah later on enough ayin gimel amad alf. Where there the Mishnah is told where a husband tells his wife as follows. He says, ze gitech mi'achsha. This is your get from right now. If if I die from this illness, so he's sick. If he lives, he doesn't want it to be a get. He's just, if he ends up dying and he wants to get his wife divorced before he dies, let's say to save from situations of yibum, whatever it is. So he says, if I die from this illness, then this is your get from right now when I'm giving it to you. So the Mishnah there says, It's a get if he dies from this illness. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, Mahi ba'is na yamim, all the days that he's ill, he might be ill 5 years until he finally dies from the sickness. What's his halachic status in his marriage with his wife during those days? Should be Huda Aymer. He says, Harehi ke'eshes is l'chol devereha. So for marriage purposes, for those 5 years, she's considered married to him. And therefore, even if, let's say, he's a kain, she could continue eating truma. And if she's mezana, she'll get chenek like a regular married woman, even though, hypothetically, retroactively, when he dies from the sickness, it turns out that she was really divorced from that moment. But up until he does die from that sickness, that will consider her as a full-fledged married woman. And when he finally does die, then it will be considered a get from that point in time, which was, we learned in the Reisha that says, Harei's a get. Now, on that is what Rabbi Huda agrees to that halacha of Harei's a get, because he's just saying, but what do we do? I mean, if he held it wasn't a get, then that's it, it's end of discussion. But he holds that it is a get, that's what he discusses, but what's her halachic status is in those interim days. And that's a chiddush that we'll consider for those interim days as a full-fledged married woman. But one thing we see from this is that obviously Rabbi Huda is not arguing on the halacha of the Reisha, and that is we won't consider this get as a get la'achar misa, because he's saying it should take effect right now. And it will be considered like as if he divorced her right now. Now, that's in spite of the fact that when he gave her the get, he was not sure if he's going to live past this illness or he's going to die from this illness. Now, that condition was based on who? Not himself. He doesn't know if he's going to die from this illness or not. It was dependent on someone that life and death of illnesses depend on. Who's that? That's Hashem. That's Achayim, not contingent on himself. Now, and still, when he dies, we say, it was retroactively clarified that at the time when he gave it to her, that he was fit to die from this illness. We didn't know that, but now retroactively it's clarified that he was going to die from this illness. And therefore we say, according to Rabbi Huda, that it's a get from that moment, and it was with that intention that he gave it to her. So you see that Rabbi Huda holds when it's totally bedas acherim, then we say that yesh breira. Now Rashi just points out one thing, and that is, this is not like a regular t'nai that a person makes in a get, where it's within his ability to fulfill or not, and that's actually his intention when he makes the condition in the get, that when the condition will be fulfilled, then it will be a regular classic get l'mafreya, a retroactive get, not based on the principle of yesh breira, it's just considered condition. But that's because there's no element of breira. But here, it's not in his ability to decide to fulfill this condition or not, because at the time he makes his condition, he's not sure, will he die from this illness or not? Only Hashem could decide that. And the condition happens by itself. So therefore, if not for the principle of yesh breira, it wouldn't be considered a valid get that was given when he was still alive before he died. So therefore, asks the Gemara on Rava, how are you saying to answer Abaye's question on the discussion between Rav Hoysha and Rabbi Huda, that, well, what's the difference? Tel b'das acherim, tel b'das atzma, all the same thing. You hold ein breira, it's ein breira by both. It's not true. Here we have clearly Rabbi Huda, where in one place he holds ein breira because it was tel b'das atzma, and here we see that he holds yesh breira because it's tel b'das acherim, meaning in Hashem. Moreover, Amalei Rav Misharshi L'Rava, where some have the gear says it's actually Ravina, who he asked a second question on Rava. Ha Reb Shimon, I'll show you again from another town, from Reb Shimon, where the Teila B'das Atzmoi less labor. When it's contingent on himself, then he holds no, there's no retroactive clarification. But the Teila B'das Acherim is labor, where when it's contingent on others, then we hold that there is breira. How so? Teila B'das Atzmoi less labor, the fact that when he's contingent on himself, there's no breira, that's Hadamar. And that's again, as we said before, regarding the person that purchases wine from the Kuti, where there were three Tanoim quoted, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Shimon, that they all held that it's aser, obviously because they hold it's not good to be able to spill it out later, because who said that what you drank was the chula, not the truma? Because they hold ein brera. That's when you yourself are clarifying it. When it's toile b'das atzmai, ein brera. Toile b'das acher mislei brera, but when it comes to be contingent on others, then he holds that there is brera. The time, like learn the b'raisa. Hareini b'alayich. If a man says to a woman, here, I'm going to cohabit with you for the purposes of kiddushin, to create an engagement, because a woman is niknas in three ways as kedushin, and one of them is with bia, with cohabitation. But says the man to the woman, amanas shir tzaba, as long as my father wants. Meaning, I'm doing a maisa kedushin with you, with cohabiting with you, but only if it turns out that my father's okay with this marriage. Says the Tanakama, Ava pishaloi rotzav, even if it turns out the father is not willing with to go ahead with this marriage, mikudeshes, still she's engaged, and because the Tanakhama holds that a person would not make his cohabitation into what's called be'ilas nus, which that's what ends up happening, that if his father doesn't want, that means he just had an act of out of wedlock relations with a woman, and therefore he really concluded in his heart that it's either way, it would come or go, he's going to have it be a full-fledged kedushin, even if his father doesn't want. So although he said it, what he really wanted was for it to be a full-fledged kedushin, and therefore it is a kedushin. Now, but Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Oymer Mishum Reb Shimon, he says the name of Reb Shimon, he holds no, Ratzav, if the father ends up wanting it, then Mekudeshes, then turns out that there was a Maisa Kedushin with the beer that he had with that woman. However, as we continue on top of Chavav Manalev, Loi Ratzav, if it turns out the father is not willing in this, Einem Mekudeshes, then he's not engaged to her. And the reason being is because his whole beer with her was only on the condition which was not fulfilled. Now, but what turns out is that when the father does want, that then Reb Shimon would hold that she is Mekudeshes, even though at the time when he cohabited with her, he didn't know if his father's going to want or if his father's not going to want, which it's Beyad Acherim, it's up to his father to decide. And yet we see Reb Shimon hold that there is Breira, that we say retroactively, was clarified that the act of Bia is considered a Kedushin. So the Gemara is asking two questions on Rabbah. They're both the same question from Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, where you were saying, Rava, that there's no difference, don't ask on Reb Hoshea, or on Reb Yehuda, that he was answering Reb Hoshea, that from our Mishnah, which is Toilah B'das Atzma, and Reb Hoshea is asking, or Toilah B'das Achem, as Abaya asked, who cares, all the same thing. And that says, these two questions from Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, that we say, no, that there is a difference between the two of them. Toilah B'das Atzma makes sense, like our Mishnah, that it would not, that you would say, Ein Breira, but Toilah B'das Achem, like Reb Hoshea was asking you, maybe you would say, Yesh Breira. So that a Malay Rava answered no. He says, I stand by my opinion. Bein Reb Yehuda, Bein Reb Shimon, Loishna Toilah B'das Atzma, it doesn't make a difference if it's contingent on himself. Veloishna Toilah B'das Achem, it doesn't make a difference if it's contingent on others. Islahu Breira, they hold that there is retroactive clarification. Because as he said before, those who hold yes by both. Those who hold no by both. So therefore, when Reb Yehuda was proving from our Mishnah that no, he said a no even to the case of Reb Hoshea, which is Toilah B'das Achem. Now, Vahasam, but this that you're asking from the halacha by buying yain from a kuti, which you wanted to prove that they both hold that there's ein breira because of Toilah B'das Atzmai, that says, Rava, no, that's not because of ein breira. They really hold yesh breira, even by Toilah B'das Atzmai. But that's kidiktani time, and that's like the Braisa there says and elaborates why they hold that it's us to do what Ramey was proposing. Because Amar Leila Ramey, they said to Ramey, Iyata Moida Shem Yiboka, no, don't you agree? Then maybe what's going to end up happening is that he takes this big flask that he bought from the kuti, and inside is the truma, and inside is the maisa rishon, and he drinks and drinks, but he saves a little bit that later he'll pour out, so it'll be considered the truma and the maisa rishon. But what happens is, if, let's say, after he drinks, before he gets a chance to take it off, maybe the flask is going to break. You know what ends up happening then? Turns out that retroactively, he drank untithed produce because you never took out Truma ever to clarify which was which. So therefore, says Rava, no, of course, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisrael Mishimon agree that we hold Yesh Breira, as we say, even when it's Toilah B'das Atzmai. So why do they say it's us to do what Rameir is saying? That's for a practical reason, because what might end up happening is, it might break, and you never had the ability to even have Yesh Breira, because you never took off, because it broke before you got a chance to separate and say this was the Truma that was in there, and this was the Maiserishon that was in there. That Omelahem, that's what Ramey responded to them, that no, if you agree to me that Yesh Breira, Likisha Yibaka, when it breaks, in other words, when that happens, and you're right, of course, it will turn out that the person definitely was drinking Tavel, but we don't have to be concerned for that, because it's not common that a flask will just shatter and just break. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that that Abaye's question is not difficult, and Rava's answer is appropriate, because those who hold Ein Breira will hold not just like in the case of our Mishnah of Toilah B'das Atzmai, but even like how Rabbi Hoshea was asking to Rabbi Huda in the case of Toilah B'das Acherim, and Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, that seemingly the Gemara had asked that there's a discrepancy. Rava answered that no, they hold that there's Yesh Breira not only by Toilah B'das Acherim, but even by Toilah B'das Atzmai, and the fact that they hold it doesn't work over there by buying the yain from the kuti is because of you won't even have Yesh Breira, because they're concerned that it's going to break, and you're going to run into the problem of having drunk Tevel. That's why they hold that it's us to do that, but not because they hold of Ein Breira. Actually, even Metel B'das Atzmoy, there is a halacha of Yesh Breira.